Blog Talk Radio.
Prophecy Keepers Radio.
This is Jasagonye, Will Bluewater, a seventh grade grandson of Sawanuka, keeper of the Holy Cherokee Ark, who during the American Revolution became first beloved man of the Cherokee, head man of the Upper, Middle, and Lower Cherokee. Please join us at 5 p.m. Pacific Time on Sunday evening and learn how you, regardless of ancestry, may gain the privilege of worshiping as you please, even using indigenous, plant-based, native sacraments. Aho. You are listening to a pre-recorded interview from the archives of Prophecy Keepers Radio. You have been led by the Spirit to Prophecy Keepers Radio, a cooperative service of the White Roots of Peace Council. Whether it be the modern Asaga of Peru, the current Kahunas of Hawaii, today's medicine people of the Americas, the Holy Ones of Africa, shamans of the East, North, West, and South, or the present-day Atawehis of the Cherokee, we bring you the traditional elders and teachers of our modern times and their confidants from the Americas, the steppes of Asia, the Holy Land, the islands of the sea, Africa, and Australasia. We have not been conquered, and we defy the established order. This is Will Bluewater, the host of Prophecy Keepers Radio, speaking on behalf of the White Roots of Peace Council.
It's 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow?
Thanks for listening to the Wisdom of the Elders on Prophecy Keepers Radio, revealing closely guarded ancient secrets here in the modern information age of Aquarius. OCO, Aginalii, this is Blue Otter coming to you from the Cumberland Plateau, the ancient home of the Aniuntikwalaski, the people of the lightning and thunder, or the military protectors of the Cherokee Nation.
Well, hello everybody, this is your old buddy Blue Otter coming to you from Booker County in mysterious Ozarks and Mid-America. This is the November 20, 2004 edition of Prophecy Keepers Radio. And the elder that we're honoring today is Mary Elizabeth Thunder. For those of you that haven't heard about Grandmother Thunder, let me read you a letter of introduction for Mary Thunder that was written by our mutual grandfather, John Roland Thunder Pope. This is dated November 21st, 1986. Grandfather passed away, as I remember, in January of 97. He said, "As one of the first traditional Native Americans to bring our message to the peoples of the earth, I've worked with many traditional Indians. Likewise, I've also worked with wise ones from all the races of the earth. Mary Thunder stands as one of the best. Her integrity and wisdom have carried her all over North and Central America. In our tradition, we do not claim credentials as the white man does and receive papers to hang on the wall. In contrast, we simply do what we can do and are recognized by the people for our ability. Mary Thunder speaks with spirit, sees into what may come into being, heals the mind, body, and spirit, and interprets for the spirits. Mary has come into her abilities through traditional ways of learning. I am proud to be her teacher. She has also studied with other traditional elders, such as Wallace Black Elk, and later Crow Dog, for well over 11 years. Mary Thunder is a trained counselor and drug and alcohol specialist. She cares about people. Mary Thunder deserves the highest respect shown to traditional Native American elders. You invite her to speak with your people and see for yourself that I, Rolling Thunder, speak the truth. You treat her well. Make sure she isn't hassled by pushy people, that she has a good, clean, and private place to eat and rest. Mary Thunder's spirit is one of transformation and renewal. She is a bridge between our cultures. I say that all the people should be given a chance to transform and renew themselves. We must change ourselves before the Creator gets tired of our tricks and shakes us off the earth like leaves off a dog's back. Osseo, Rolling Thunder, Carlin, Nevada. Well, Osseo, Grandmother of Thunder, go ahead and tell the people about yourself, and I guess we also have a guest, Angelique from Switzerland, is with you. And Osseo, Grandmother, how are you?
Osseo, Blue Otter, this is just so wonderful. Well, that brought tears to my eyes.
Yeah.
How much we miss him, huh?
We sure do. We sure do. Yeah.
He's the most amazing man. And the most important thing that I think he's ever said is, I speak my truth.
You sure
and
did.
I think that's one of the most gracious things any soul can do on the planet.
He was quite a fellow. Well, what have you...
Talk about Rolling Thunder stories all day.
Yeah, we sure could. We could do an entire program on him. I know, I don't know if they had a chance to listen to Ted Silverhand, but he, Ted's his son-in-law, and he talked quite a bit about Grandfather Rolling Thunder and Grandfather Mad Bear and the two of them, and the grandfathers didn't activate me until the year that Mad Bear died. And I'm beginning to wonder if it wasn't Mad Bear that woke me up, because I remember in the dream that I had, I just saw a full-blood Indian man. He had a translucent stone around his neck, and there was a key embedded in the stone, and his name was written in the stone, but I wasn't allowed to remember his name. But he just said, very briefly, when are you going to do something about your Cherokee? And he mentioned the name, you know, and I knew the name. When are you going to do something about your Cherokee grandfather's genealogy? And that was it. And then, I guess in 1996, we established Native Prophecy Net Center at Wovoka.com. And 2 years later, I got a hold of the book Mad Bear by Doug Boyd. And the first thing I did is I flipped to the back to the index to see if there's any prophecies in there. And the only prophecy he had in there was that he said someday someone was going to travel all around the world. And he was in the process of doing this before he passed. But he wanted to see a place or a publication or something, a way for people to take a look and compare all the prophecies of all the religions or traditions worldwide. And he said we really will have something then. He really felt strongly that that would be an avenue for, and you know, what he did. He was a seaman and went all the way around the world and really laid the groundwork for the modern Indian unity movement.
Yeah.
And he said, you know, there was something else I was thinking about. He says, we ought to make a little trip to Virginia Beach to the Edgar Casey people. I've read up on all those Casey readings, especially the prophecies. I've got copies of all that stuff. And Nostradamus, too. Did you ever read up on the prophecies of Nostradamus? What somebody ought to do someday pretty quick is go all around the country, the world really, and make a study of all the prophets, what they had to say. I bet a comparison of all their prophecies related to these next few decades would be an amazing thing. You'd think someone would jump at the chance to fund something like that. I mean, that'd be worth something. But then...
amazing.
Yeah. But he says there'd be many who wouldn't know how to use it. Maybe they'd get more passive instead of more active. Like I've been saying all along, most people get confused between foresight and faith. And that's from the book Mad Bear, 1934, by Doug Boyd. So that's, and then after that I realized, oh my gosh, you know, Mad Bear was R.T.'s friend. And this last year, well, I knew he died in 85. And then I remembered, right about the same time in 85 I had that dream. So I was kind of wondering if that wasn't Mad Bear. So... I'm sure you've met him. I know Robert Gostolf has met him, and
oh yeah,
Ted knew him well. So that's kind of the jumping off point for what we're doing with first of all, Volca.com, and now ProphecyKeepers.com, Prophecy Keepers Radio. So tell us what the grandfathers say.
About that. What part?
I don't know. What are you doing on Thunder Ranch today? And tell the folks about Thunder Ranch and about your guests and what to do.
Thunder Ranch was established with a little edging from RT and most of my elders for a house for the spirit. We've been here since 1989. We just had our 15th year reunion.
Wow.
Pretty cool. It's a spiritual university. We have a sweat lodge, sacred pipe house, woman's temple area. And people come, and I like to think they just take a drink of water or nourishment of the spirit from here.
I know you've got...
It's the way of life, like every time.
They have a lot of activities. They've done a lot of traveling.
We've had really amazing gatherings. I was, I guess I could say the word fortunate, but when we're working in the days of money and et cetera, they were quite... left us with, we're working really hard for a lot of years to help pay off the expenses. But two world peace gatherings, and several four-directional conferences. And all of them were attended by over 100 elders at each gathering. And your dream and your speaking of bringing those prophecies together, that's kind of what we've been doing these last 15 years.
Well, I guess you might want to tell folks about, you know, what you're doing in Indianapolis, and then what happened in 81.
I was born and raised in Indianapolis. My mother deserted me, thinking that she was giving me a better way of life for being raised in another world. And my background, I guess the resume would be I worked in politics most of my life. I worked for the mayor of Indianapolis, was secretary of the Board of Public Safety. During that time, I had three wonderful children and then finished my degree in counseling. And somewhere around, the middle 70s, I started relearning my own roots and actually getting involved in Wounded Knee and meeting Leonard Krodog and started observing a way of life that included Sundance. And I wanted to pray that way back when to bring my kids together, because I'd had a pretty abusive life growing up. And I wanted to break that cycle of abuse. So, the ceremonies and having my children learn something different was pretty amazing. So it went on that way until 1980. My New Year's Eve, 1980-81, a week before New Year's, Leonard Krodog was visiting. And he woke up one morning, just made your day to hear something like this, but woke up one morning and said, Niche, you're going to have a heart attack, what white man calls a heart attack, and you're going to die and go to the spirit world, and then you're going to come back, and then you have to live a whole different lifestyle. So, a week later to the day, I had what was called an aneurysm and went in the hospital. And then 19 days later, I had an operation on my heart. And during the operation, I did die on the operating table. visit the other side of things. The Spirit shows me there. And reluctantly came back to what we know as this life. A tremendously different person. So it was one of those major life changes. And I've been walking the spiritual path ever since then, more fervently in a different way. 1 year from the date that I had the heart attack, Leonard told me I had to become a sun dancer. And I went to all my elders, including RT, and RT didn't practice the Lakota way of the pipe or sun dance, but he also recommended that I do that. And I've been just sun dancing and living this way of life ever since.
Well, it's been an amazing road for you, and you know, Ghost Wolf and I have kind of joked around that we're featuring most of the elders that are on the AIM hit list. And I think it's so ironic. I know. Rolling Thunder had a mind of his own, and somehow, I guess back in the 80s sometime, there was some kind of an AIM declaration of war, and which was really signed by two people. You know, one was Leonard Zephyr, and and he's since crossed that line, you know, himself, and then there was an F list put together, and Rolling Thunder wasn't on it. Then he was put on it later on, and nobody could figure out why. And, you know, it's really sad because the American Indian Movement, well, you know, I guess there's duality in everything. It did some tremendous good. It lit some fires, but it's like anything. It can be used for good and evil, and you know, people don't understand there isn't just one AIM. There are literally hundreds and thousands. There's a couple of main councils, and then there are basically two large sites to AIM that they've split and between friends, and you've got all kinds of different little organizations and renegade AIM people, and it's really kind of sad. I know. But you know, there's no growth without opposition.
I've got a whole different thought process on that. In the early days, when the elders started coming out, I was actually a trained warrior for the elders. That's where, you know, you get my teachers of Leonard Kodak and Wallace Black Elk and RT. And I carried a gun because they were precious people. And I was their protector and interpreter and get their coffee person. And then taking that step into the spiritual realm of sun dancing and making prayers for the people. I've seen a lot of magic. You know, you said my name was on the AIM hit list. When I got married in 1988, the man that married me was a very good friend called Dennis Banks. And when he showed up to marry me, I just smiled and said, "You know, Dennis, why am I on the AIM hit list?" And Dennis looked at me and laughed, and he said, "Well, I don't know."
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments. Folks, the scriptures say, "My people perish for lack of knowledge." We live in a world that's becoming more and more dangerous as time goes by. Millions of people are aware of this fact now and are actively preparing. Back in 2004, the folks here at Prophecy Keepers Foundation foresaw this situation and began preparing information for you. Friends, I seriously suggest that you head over to prophecykeepers.info and take a look at the Prophecy Keepers Trilogy and Preparedness Library. The Prophecy Keepers Trilogy is a 1,000-page intelligence briefing. The trilogy is a sum total of many years of collecting, collating, analyzing, and comparing prophecies from all over the planet. Mad Bear Anderson predicted that someone would do exactly what we have done. Mad Bear passed into spirit in 1985 before he could realize his dream of collecting and comparing prophecies from all over the world. He said in his biography, "Someday someone will collect all the native people's prophecies, myths, and legends and would publish them in one place so they could be compared with those of all native peoples worldwide, and then we really will have something." And friends, you'll be absolutely shocked to find out that we discovered exactly what that something was that Mad Bear wanted everyone to know. As it turns out, that certain special something that Mad Bear was searching for in the prophecies has everything to do with your physical safety and how to protect it. Now folks, there's absolutely nothing available on the planet like this collection. You'll receive instant access to the Prophecy Keeper's Wisdom Treasury Vault. This is a huge 4.88 gigabyte library, 3,287 files in 222 folders. You'll also receive direct access to links that will allow you to download all past Prophecy Keeper's interviews. Now folks, I won't kid you, Prophecy Keeper's does need money to continue to operate. So please head on over to prophecykeepers.info and take a look.
Keepers of great wisdom, truth of other times, let the wind blow.
That was a confusion, actually. Most of the AIM hit lists were, and it was my married name when I had my children. And he said, "You shouldn't be on there." And I said, "In a way, I think I should." Because Grace Spotted Eagle used to say, the AIM hit list was the people that were out doing the work. And it gave us PR. So I danced and held the hands and heads and hearts of almost every leader of the American Indian Movement. I've been cussed, spit on, knocked down, and kicked. I've been taken to levels of bliss and ecstasy with the spirit, and it's an amazing adventure. I myself am happy for the American Indian Movement. It turned around a prophecy and a sickness and a bias and prejudice that needed to be turned around. For the first time in the history, Indian people were getting an attention. It's still going on, not much attention today. You know, every year we have a Christmas fund project that we help kids out in South Dakota and North Dakota. And I just got a letter from my friend who's headed down in Cannonball, North Dakota. And in that letter, she talked of two suicides. One child that tried suicide, alcohol and drugs and on and on and on. So we need even more attention. I'm hoping that the hatred in the hearts of other people and that hurt and that pain can go into another expression. Does that make sense?
Oh.
Something that will feed us and nurture us, and something that will take us to another place where we held hands. RT was a hard teacher. And at one Sundance in California, I'm a half-breed, but I danced in major AIM movement dances and what, you know, dance It used to not be open, Sundance, like it is today. I danced back in the late 70s, early 80s. So what we're talking about is one-on-one. When people know each other, I don't think there's a problem. But when you get together and you have groups and somebody starts pointing a finger at somebody and somebody else makes somebody wrong, that's what's going on in Iraq right now. You know, we can't kill a person if we know them. So we have to make them bad or not good enough. So I think it's all like a consciousness of yourself. Back in the days when I fell to half-breed, I got half-breed experiences. Did that make sense?
Uh-huh.
And then when I just didn't care anymore, like RP would tell me, you're full-blooded, whatever, you know, I'd say, oh, okay. And it just doesn't bother me anymore. Many times I've gone in to negotiate because a local chapter of American Indian Movement was going to shut down this or that. And ended up, I just had a really nice dinner with friends. And we had a really good time, and whatever was supposed to be would go on. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it sure does.
So, none of the body, if you're doing your work, whatever it is on the planet, like you're doing your Blue Otter, you see what I mean? There's going to be all kinds of wonderful experiences to help define that work for you. And I think it is funny that someone, there was a recent thing about the pipe and the people could have the pipe and these people couldn't. And we got all those letters and all that yuck and whatever. And I said, well, the way I've been taught, we are the instruments of the sacred. So they can take a symbol away, but we have to know it in ourselves and in our hearts. And this ranch, I cannot tell you how many chiefs, shamans, curanderos, oh, it's okay, everything's good. And that's all we want out of life, isn't that it? To help people and everything be good. So I honor yourself and Ghost Wolf. God bless. You're doing good jobs out there. Somebody's got to shake the bushes
to get
the birds to fly out.
That's right.
Right?
That's right. Well, I know, Larry Kodog, I've never met him, but I understand he's a really nice fellow. I've got some friends out in Utah. I'll tell you a little story. I don't know if you remember back in 86, this could get long, but I'll tell you the short version. It was really interesting because the day before, well, the day this happened, my son and I were, my family was moving into a mobile home on a mining company property that the mining company had abandoned, and we worked out a deal so we could, this is 22 miles south of Moab, Utah, about 100 miles north of the Navajo Reservation. And it was very windy that day, and we were just moving in, and we needed to change the pads in the evaporative swamp cooler. And my son and I are both up on the roof of this mobile home. And this is the 4th of May, 1996, and I just got this thing in my head, just this urge to look up, and we looked up, and there was this gigantic eagle in the sky, made of cloud, and there was every detail that you could imagine. It was white on white, you know, in shades of gray, light gray, it only lasted about a minute, but I mean, you could see every detail. It left nothing to the imagination, and we both saw it. We didn't know what to think about that. Well, about a week later, was down in Moab working at the music store, and this Navajo couple walked in, and I told them what had happened, and they looked at me, and I said, you're Bella Ghana, and you saw that? And I said, well, I'm Mixed Blood Cherokee. And and they said, the fellow said, my mom's a traditional down in Tianta, and she and a bunch of traditionals saw the same thing the same day. And then later on it was found out that two Navajo deities that day had visited the Rocky Ridge and had left a rather dire message that they needed to get back to their original set of instructions and original diet, or there was going to be trouble.
Yeah.
And so that following summer, a friend of mine who was about 6'4", redhead, blue eyes, and he's part Lenape from Pennsylvania, goes down with Alan Nezcai, who was a Bear Clan Dene, Native American Church elder, and they go down to Sundance, and Leonard is the Sundance chief down there, and they had black people there, and they had Japanese people there, color, but the only guy of course Leonard didn't have anything to do with, but the local Sundance chiefs were threatened to steal his pipe, and that, we don't want you, and this kind of thing, and he went to Grandfather Crow Dog, and Crow Dog said, well, next summer you come dance Crow Dog's Paradise, and he did. And
that's great.
And they're hunk of relatives now, but it's, it was so unfortunate because, the Navajo had the two deities come, and they missed the whole point, and then it's kind of bad. There's a lot of anger there, I guess. And but what's really interesting though is that my friend told me that the grandfathers kind of got their revenge a little bit. He said that Japanese guys killed a coyote and they cooked it, and I guess some of the Sundance chiefs came over to their camp and they were invited to come in, and they didn't know it, but they ate coyote.
That's
about the worst thing a Navajo would never think, eating coyote, but they did that day. So anyway, it's funny how things work. But
I've been there that day because I haven't danced at Rocky Ridge, but I danced at Big Mountain.
Mm.
So that's real close.
Yeah, not too bad.
Moab there and all that area you're talking about.
By the way, if we get disconnected, I'll call you right back. But
okay.
That might happen in the next few minutes because I've got kind of a funky long distance service. But I understand you've got a guest there from Switzerland, Angelique.
Yes.
What have you got going on today there at the ranch with Angelique?
Well, let me just say this: I think that part of what RP's message was is that we really are all Indian if we got a drop of Indian blood.
Sure.
And we all can learn and become the heart of the adventure. And if all of us would strive to lead that life of taking responsibility for the earth, of taking to heart the kindness in life and helping each other and more tribal views, then that is wonderful. That's what it's all about, what's going to heal our earth. So my friend here, Angelique, is Sundance at Leonard Crow Dog, her and her husband, and also at other dances. I met her there. She is from Switzerland, born in Holland, and has taken this message and this energy to her own country. And I just get excited about that. In 1997, I got to be with the Dalai Lama. And each of us had a private audience with him. And I was so in awe. We were supposed to have a question. And I just couldn't think of a question to ask the Dalai Lama. Some were asking, what's my karma, or, just these unbelievable questions. So when I got up, he was just the most wonderful human. I just love him. And he bowed to me, I bowed to him. We were just sort of back and forth. And finally he said, "Do you have a question?" I said, "No, I don't really." And he goes, "Oh, just ask me a question." So I asked, "Why did you have this gathering?" And the gathering was 15 traditional religions, such as Catholicism, a Muslim, Sufi, Baptist, you name it. And we were meeting in France at the first Spiritual United Nations. And then there were 15 indigenous people from all over the world, the five colors. That's red, yellow, black, and white, and brown. So I said, "Why did you have this gathering?" And what he said was, "It is up to the indigenous and the traditional religions, the people that pray, to learn to get along with each other now and first before something really bad happens to the earth." And that's where I got that line that I love, that if you get to know someone, then you won't kill them, because there's a relationship thing. So, Angelique, I'd like to introduce her and welcome her and tell them who you are and about yourself.
So
Hello, my name is Angelique, as Tim said, with an unspeakable back name, which is Wanche. And I live in Switzerland, and actually the place where we live, we created the same kind of setting as we as Summer has here on Summer Ranch. So we have people living with us, we have young troubled children living with us and taking care of them, we have spread lunch, we have ceremonies, and we have, besides that, a biological farm, and we just try to live a traditional life in this time. And I have had the honor to meet a lot of elders, Native American elders, especially to Sumner, and they taught us a lot. Because I think, coming from Europe, we are very much rootless. It's like, it seems like we have traditions, like the Celtic traditions, but they don't go back to the original instruction. And I think that is what we were looking for, and that's what we found, and that's what we try to bring back to the people.
Oh, that's very worthy. Oh, we're back on the after short break. That's really exciting, Angelique. Now let's see. Now, are you Deutsche Swiss or French Swiss or Italian? And what's your mother language?
I'm from Holland originally.
Oh, I see. Okay.
I'm Dutch.
And so, because I spent 3 months in Europe at the end of 1972, I traveled with Up With People, and it was a singing goodwill ambassadors, and I have been to the Netherlands briefly. We went out to Ostend one day, and just they let us put our toes in the Netherlands. So, but my my mother's father is a Hendrix, and his I have two Dutch lines, his line and also another line that came into New Amsterdam about 1650. So I got have a little bit of the blood from the Netherlands myself. And
yeah.
Well, we sure welcome you. We sure welcome you here. So tell us a little bit more about your travels and what you've been doing.
Let me see. Well, like I said, 3.5 years ago, we moved to Switzerland, and that has a lot to do with nature. In Holland, there's, well, you could see that when you would visit, there's not a lot real nature and not enough place. So that's actually the reason why we moved to Switzerland. And we live now in the Jura, which is real old land, original land, and it's beautiful. Other than that, I have been on a spiritual road since I was 18. I'm 37 now, so that makes like 16 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I have been with a lot. I started off with New Age teachers because that is what was available. But after a long time of training, I felt that I was not connecting into the source or what I would call original instruction, and I was really longing for that.
Prophecy Keeper, Prophecy Keeper.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments. Folks, the scriptures say, my people perish for lack of knowledge. We live in a world that's becoming more and more dangerous as time goes by. Millions of people are aware of this fact now and are actively preparing. Back in 2004, the folks here at Prophecy Keepers Foundation foresaw this situation and began preparing information for you. Friends, I seriously suggest that you head over to prophecykeepers.info and take a look at the Prophecy Keepers Trilogy and Preparedness Library. The Prophecy Keepers Trilogy is a 1,000-page intelligence briefing. The trilogy is a sum total of many years of collecting, collating, analyzing, and comparing prophecies from all over the planet. Mad Bear Anderson predicted that someone would do exactly what we have done. Mad Bear passed into spirit in 1985 before he could realize his dream of collecting and comparing prophecies from all over the world. He said in his biography, someday someone will collect all the native people's prophecies, myths, and legends and would publish them in one place so they could be compared with those of all native peoples worldwide, and then we really will have something. And friends, you'll be absolutely shocked to find out that we discovered exactly what that something was that Mad Bear wanted everyone to know. As it turns out, that certain special something that Mad Bear was searching for in the prophecies has everything to do with your physical safety and how to protect it. Now folks, there's absolutely nothing available on the planet like this collection. You'll receive instant access to the Prophecy Keeper's Wisdom Treasury Vault. This is a huge 4.88 gigabyte library, 3,287 files in 222 folders. You'll also receive direct access to links that will allow you to download all past Prophecy Keepers interviews. Now folks, I won't kid you. Prophecy Keepers does need money to continue to operate. So please head on over to prophecykeepers.info and take a look.
Keepers of great wisdom, truth of other times, let the wind blow.
And then before I knew it, I met some wonderful people and some wonderful teachers from Native tradition. And they have taught me well, but they always told me that there would be a day that I would find my teacher. Although she says she doesn't have students, Summer is my teacher. So it's just like, I think it's 7 or 8 years ago, that there was a Wolfram gathering, which originally was initiated by Grandmother Filanish. And there were like 90 elders visiting, and in that time my husband was a center, and our people were cooking for the gathering, and that's where I met Mary and her son, Chief Richard, and a lot of beautiful elders, and since then we have been visiting the U.S. a lot. We started Sundancing and coming for gatherings, and what is especially what touched me very deeply in Sunday's work is also her vision of the women's dance and the tradition for women. And that is actually something that is really necessary on this earth right now, I think. And I'm very involved with that. Because I see, and especially in the U.S., I'm so surprised that people have to fight to get their placentas after birth from the hospital.
Yeah.
That is so amazing to me. Because in Europe, that is a whole different thing. It's very normal that you get it back. Because even if you're not, your way of life is not Native American, it can be Christian, it can be any way of life, it is a natural question to ask people, do you want to take the placenta home? And I have noticed that these last years, female cancer has been increased terribly. I noticed in my own circle we had 4 babies this year, and none of them was a natural birth. And that worries me a lot. And I'm so grateful for the women's bands and the women teaching that Sunder and I and a lot of the other women are involved with, because I think that we need a lot of healing in that area. So that is actually what I'm working a lot with right now. And for my husband, it's a little bit different. He's mostly the one that pours the water at our house, and he's the one that is following a lot of Keith Richards' teachings also, and he's working more with the men. But I'm very much into looking at what is going on with the women in these days, and what can we do to change it.
I think I might know a reason why you're in Switzerland. Back in 1986, Lee Brown gave a talk at the 1986 Continental Indigenous Council, and I understand that we're going to be that we'll have a video. We're having a video of that talk sent to us, and so we'll be able to listen to that talk. But in the talk, he said that each of the races has stone tablets, and he said that speaking, as a Cherokee, he says ours are kept at the Hopi Reservation in Arizona at Four Corners. He said he talked to the people from the Black race, and their stone tablets are at the foot of Mount Kenya, being kept by the Kikuyu tribe, and he says that stone tablets for the Yell race are kept by the Tibetans. And he said the guardians of the tradition of the people of Europe are the Swiss. In Switzerland, they still have a day when each family brings out its mask. They still know the colors of these families, and they still know the symbols, some of them. Each of these 4 people happen to live in the mountains, whether it's the Hopi, the Kikuyu, all the keepers. So he says each of the 4 races went to their directions and learned their teachings. And he says it was in Newsweek not long ago that 8 out of 10 foods that people eat on Earth were developed here in the Western Hemisphere, because that was our guardianship to learn the teachings of the Earth and the things that grow from the Earth. And so that may be why you're in Switzerland, because it seems like there's something about mountains. I know the Cherokee, we've always been the people that have lived in mountains. And
it's about tradition too, because there's a lot of old traditions still in Switzerland, especially where I live. And I'm learning a lot about that. And it seems like my neighbor can tell me what is the best moon to get your wood, things like that. And still a lot of people have the old knowledge about how to use herbs, how to work with the moon, how to do a lot of things. So that's very interesting.
That's fascinating.
Yeah, it is. And
Europe needs that.
Think we need that. Yeah.
They really need that. They need to feel connected, because I think they've felt disconnected for a long time. And I'm glad that there's a place, and that you're doing something similar in Switzerland. And what have you? How long have you been at Thunder Ranch?
This time I was able to sneak out from my home for 2 weeks, but that was really a miracle, because we have so much to do and so many people to take care of, and It was just wonderful. And actually, I came because the reunion was two weeks ago, and I really wanted to see all the people that I got to know through the years. So I was actually very happy to be here. And tomorrow I leave and go back to my Switzerland.
Going back home, huh? What part of Texas? Yeah. What part of Texas is Thunder Ranch in? What does it look like there?
Huh?
What does it look like there? Are you in the Piney Woods area, or are you out in the hill country, or I'm not sure.
Right at the edge of the Piney Woods, pretty flat. We're on this side of that earthquake, and so we're not in the hill country. We're on the flat side, but we're in central, right between Austin and Houston.
Okay, I gotcha. So how far are you from the Gulf of Mexico?
Well, Galveston's probably about 4 hours away.
Okay. Well, that's a good healthy distance. I know with all the earth changes that may be coming up, I get concerned for people who are living too close to the Gulf. I know they say that the Mississippi is going to swell. And, you know, it wasn't just Gordon Michael Scallion and Loria Del Toy. I know dozens of people in Utah that had even more detailed dreams about the inundation that was going to be happening out in the Rocky Mountain area. And a friend of mine, I guess it was back in 78, 76, somewhere back in there, they had a gathering of nations in South Jordan, Utah, and Mad Bear could drive, I guess, at that time, or he was diabetic. But for some reason, he had to have a driver come out to New York and pick him up, and we know her personally. And she said that that as they were just coming down out of the mountains from the direction of Evanston, Wyoming, you get to a point in the mountains, it's Emigration Canyon, and you can begin to see the Salt Lake Valley. And she said at that point, Mad Bear just kind of freaked out and said, "Stop the car," you know, and just said, "Stop right now," you know. So she pulled over, and he got out and looked around and got back in, and she didn't say anything, waited for him to say it, and he says, "You know, it's really too bad." And she said, "Well, what?" He says, "That's such a beautiful valley." He says that someday it's going to be underwater. And looking down at Salt Lake City, which is the elevation, you know, about 4,200 feet. Well, the interesting thing is that if you look up on the benches in the mountains above Salt Lake City, you can see the old beach of Lake Bonneville, was basically up around 4,500 feet. Probably wasn't the water was that high, but it was, you know, or the continents sit on magma bubbles, and when things change, you know, continents go up and down, and a testimony to this is that the Decalogue stone was found a few miles away from Las Lunas, New Mexico, which is about 25-30 miles west of Albuquerque, and the Decalogue stone is a copy of the Ten Commandments written in the Phoenician language. Well, how did the Phoenicians, who were seagoing people, that's at least 800 miles inland now. So, you know, things change. But she took him on a tour downtown Salt Lake, and he looked around and said, "Oh," he says, "you see that gold statue up on top of that building?" He's pointing to Angel Moroni. The Salt Lake Temple. He says, "Yeah." He says the water's going to come right up to almost to his feet, which would be right about 4,400 foot level. The Mormon Church office building is a couple blocks away. And driving past that, he says, "Oh," he says, "you see, there's two maps of the world, both sides of the hemispheres, east and west hemisphere, on the church office building." He says, I saw those come crashing down in a dream. And the interesting thing is that missionaries for the church are told that if there ever is an earthquake, those huge bas-relief panels that are literally hanging on the side of the building are made to come to crash down. So it's really interesting. And I know I live in the Ozarks at about 1,100 feet elevation, and I guess the Mississippi River is probably going to be, rather than 180 miles from here, it'll probably probably be about 50 miles closer before things are said and done.
Do you live in Arkansas?
I live in I live right in the middle of Missouri, about 50 miles north of the Arkansas state line.
Okay.
I'm in the Ozark Mountains. It's an ancient, they say it's the oldest mountain range in the world, or something, but it's an ancient limestone hill. This is where Rolling Thunder's home, he was from the Kiamichi Mountains, which is kind of part of the Ouachita Mountains, are just south of the Ozark Plateau. But he was from this kind of an area, is where he was from. And his people were Chickamauga Cherokees like mine, and they were denied citizenship in the Cherokee Nation, so they were adopted into the Muscogee Creek took a lot of them in, and a lot of them went to Alabama. And, but it's pretty. It's a mixed deciduous and evergreen forest here, a lot of water. 14 of the 15 largest springs in the world, if I remember correctly, are here. And we like it here. We like it here. It's a beautiful place. You can still hunt. And there's still game around, and not many jobs, but it's a pretty safe place to live. But you're in a pretty part of the country. Well, what do you see happening here, Grandmother Thunder? Has Spirit told you anything about what might be happening here in the next couple of years? The reason why I asked is I was told back in March of 2005, or March of 98, rather, that 2005 would be known as the year of the Great Havoc because the weather was going to get so bad. But we're already starting to see some of that. So just wondering what you see for the near future.
Well, one thing I wanted to say is my son, he was made a chief by Litter Crudog. And he lives down in Arkansas, a little town called Box.
Oh, really?
So I don't think it's that far away from you up there.
Yeah, was Sparky Shooting Star or live there? Or Suzanne?
No, my son, Chief Richard. Richard Grimes.
Yeah, there was somebody else that was a friend of yours that was on your website that's from Fox. And I kept...
Yeah, you mentioned Sparky Shooting Star. Now, she actually stayed at Arkansas a year or so. They were in love in the end. That's wonderful. But she's an amazing teacher. She's up in Massachusetts now.
It's Suzanne Day's address is in Fox.
Huh?
Suzanne Day.
Suzanne Day, right. She lives in the valley. My son has formed an organization called Future Seed, where they take in troubled youth, as Angelique said. And my son's got six little guys himself, and then he has two or three others, and I just talked to my daughter-in-law today, and they just got a call of 18-year-old boys coming down. And then tomorrow, someone from the farm there is going to meet someone in Oklahoma. A little boy, his father just died, and his mother just tried to commit suicide. She's real crazy right now. So they're bringing an 18-year-old boy, or 8-year-old boy.
Wow.
To be with them. So they're doing a lot of amazing work with no money. The court system in Arkansas just loves the program, is always sending kids over.
Wow.
But They they don't get any money. I said, how are you going to feed all these kids, son? You know? So it's just amazing to me how we can all work on faith.
They are 150 miles just about due south of here.
Okay, good. Well, it's not all that far.
Not too far.
It's pretty area.
It is. It's the Ozarks is a beautiful place.
Well, you were talking about earth changes, and Spirit brought me to this place. I call my home South Dakota, and then I was born and raised in Indiana, so Texas was a real stretch for me, and I had the privilege of meeting with and becoming friends with Gordon Michael Scallion. I heard you just say his name.
Uh-huh.
Another beautiful brother that did a lot of awareness for earth changes, the Sun Bear. And although I never was a speaker for Sun Bear, I attended almost all of these gatherings because I was taking care of Grandma Grace Spotted Eagle and Grandpa Wallace Black Elk. And they were pretty featured speakers with him.
Tell me your great secrets deep inside your heart.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments. Folks, the scriptures say, "My people perish for lack of knowledge." We live in a world that's becoming more and more dangerous as time goes by. Millions of people are aware of this fact now and are actively preparing. Back in 2004, the folks here at Prophecy Keepers Foundation foresaw this situation and began preparing information for you. Friends, I seriously suggest that you head over to prophecykeepers.info and take a look at the Prophecy Keepers Trilogy and Preparedness Library. The Prophecy Keepers Trilogy is a 1,000-page intelligence briefing. The trilogy is a sum total of many years of collecting, collating, analyzing, and comparing prophecies from all over the planet. Mad Bear Anderson predicted that someone would do exactly what we have done. Mad Bear passed into spirit in 1985 before he could realize his dream of collecting and comparing prophecies from all over the world. He said in his biography, "Someday someone will collect all the native people's prophecies, myths, and legends and would publish them in one place, so they could be compared with those of all native peoples worldwide, and then we really will have something." And friends, you'll be absolutely shocked to find out that we discovered exactly what that something was that Mad Bear wanted everyone to know. As it turns out, that certain special something that Mad Bear was searching for in the prophecies has everything to do with your physical safety and how to protect it. Now folks, there's absolutely nothing available on the planet like this collection. You'll receive instant access to the Prophecy Keeper's Wisdom Treasury Vault. This is a huge 4.88 gigabyte library, 3,287 files in 222 folders. You'll also receive direct access to links that will allow you to download all past Prophecy Keeper's interviews. Now folks, I won't kid you, Prophecy Keeper's does need money to continue to operate. So please head on over to prophecykeepers.info and take a look.
Keepers of great wisdom, truth of other times, let the wind blow.
So when I saw that there are two maps that they each had, Sun Bear had in his book, and Gordon Michael Scallion gave me a map, it looked like where we were was going to be underwater. So I wrote him both little notes and said, "Well, what do you think? Did Spirit do a joke on me, or what's going on? Am I just supposed to pray here, or what?" And both of them wrote me back and said, "No, you're going to be fine. It's just going to be beachfront property."
Yep.
So, I might have a condo on the beach someday.
Hey, what the heck? And well, you mentioned.
Yeah. Well, you know, prophecy is amazing. Spirit is forever sharing with me that you know, life is such a tangible thread, and we are just blinks of our eye in this existence, in a sense. So it's what you do from your heart and make that difference in the world. We've seen amazing prophecies of weather changes, and spirit seemed to get very excited a while back about Yellowstone,
mm-hmm.
and the activity that everyone was denying and still denying. But isn't it funny that right down that line is Mount Shasta?
Mm-hmm.
And it seems to be a little active. So I don't think the predictions and the spirit information that was coming about Yellowstone was all that off.
Well, Rainier was rumbling last week, I believe. Mm-hmm. And have you ever been to Manitoka?
Where's that at?
It's in Hot Springs, Arkansas.
Oh, yeah, I have.
What's interesting is... somebody called into... Of course, we've interviewed the elder down from Manitoka, but Grandfather Lee. But I was listening to the Coast to Coast show the week that Mount St. Helens was heating up, and somebody called in from California and said that they were from Hot Springs and that they had a close friend who was a Park Service employee. And the Park Service employee had said, well, you know, guess what, I've been sworn to secrecy. They said that there were scientists running all over town because the hot springs were getting so hot at Hot Springs, Arkansas, which is, you know what, 18, 19, maybe 2,000 miles away from the volcanoes, you know.
Right.
So, you know... You know, don't tell me they're not connected, because they are. It's,
Oh, yeah. I don't know. Have you ever heard of a wonderful teacher by the name of Drumbelow Melchizedek?
I have.
I just was talking to him on the phone the other day, and he said Mount Shasta is connected to four other ranges also.
Mm.
And if they go, we don't have to worry about anything, because we're not going to be here.
Yeah.
And,
yeah, I could sure see.
You know, what I don't understand, we just had an election, and I don't want to get into that, but I do want to get into the fact that Colin Powell put in his resignation and stepped down,
mm-hmm.
but he was very well loved by the, what he called, the servicemen and women.
Yeah.
Now we have the lady taking over. Before she's taking this over, what's happening? She's having an operation on her womb to take out tumors.
Oh my God.
And to me, sometimes that's about not nurturing. And that makes me really worried that everything's connected to the earth. You know, our breath, we're a part of the earth. Our very makeup of our bodies is the same as the stars and the earth. And what people don't understand, this connection all over the planet. You know, how can we just, well, I don't like the news, let me turn it off. I don't like to see that kind of thing. But do the people in Iraq have that availability? They can't turn off what's happening to them. So if you're going to turn it off, at least make a prayer, you know, before you turn off that television station. The spirit forever is telling me that we still have to change, that the earth is sick, and we've made her sick. We're the virus that's made this earth sick, and we have to eradicate ourselves, in a sense, of our energies, you know, of our thoughtlessness, of our refusal to accept the simple term that we are all one. You know, we just don't want to believe it. The man I argue with, he's me. The woman that I argue with, she's me. We are our own making. Have you seen that movie, What the Bleep?
No.
Oh, you gotta see it.
What was it called?
What the Bleep.
What the Bleep? No, I haven't seen that yet.
What the Bleep do we know?
Oh, that, okay. Okay. No, yeah.
It's what Tristan thinks to me since I've been trained to let the spirit come through. That day, I heard all these things. I was in that movie, and I celebrate that now. That is even wider. The spirit's working as hard as it can to give us these prophecies, to let us know what's happening. But it won't be heard sometimes. You know, you're talking about the prophecy stone. I can't remember what year it was, but early 80s, the Navajo elders and the Hopi elders took us to see the stones. And we saw them. And at the same Sundance, a Rinpoche from Tibet come over, and I think it was Tibet, or I can't remember, I think Tibet. And the Hopi elders prayed over the stones, and the Navajo elders prayed over the, they put down their own arguing to pray over this beautiful stones, and then they went and took corn and laid it out. And all the elders, Hopi, Navajo, and the Tibetan, and Leonard Kodai, and all the elders prayed over this corn and give it to each of the Sun Dancers, and I still have that corn today. I hand it out to people. Hold on to this kernel. Planet. Create something. A life. Does that make sense?
Oh.
So, people are doing the best they can. I've been listening to these prophecies. I've been so privileged to hear these prophecies. I think your dream of bringing them all together could very well be the answer. But are those people going to hear that result of bringing them all together? Are they going to stop the war? Are they going to stop fighting within themselves? Are they going to stop killing themselves? I heard you talk about food. And I went to Mexico, to the Yucatan. And I met an old man there, 126 years old. He was the king of the Lacandones and the king of all the temples. And his name, I think it was King Tung King. I can't remember. Tung something. I could look it up. But I met him, and he was really little. He was only about 4'11". But he was 126 years old. And so we were having wolf songs. Two, and I asked him through five interpreters, that's how many it took for us to talk together, what is his words for peace? And he talked about to go back to the natural foods, and I heard you say that. So how can this 126-year-old elder, who hadn't talked to anybody but a month before, he decided to take people, and his son found me in the midst of Mexico and took us up there. How could he say the same thing as the Lakota elder over here, as the Brazilian over there? Something has to be going on.
What?
So I'm wondering if maybe Angelique could talk about their farm and what they do.
Sure.
With the natural growing. Would you like to hear about that?
Sure. Go right ahead.
Okay. So, we got this beautiful opportunity to take over organic farm. And so we are organic farming, but also making cheese, actually we try to create self-sustaining life. And we not only do that for ourselves, but we do that for people to show them and to teach them. Because a lot of people don't even know what is out there in nature that you can eat and how to survive, but a lot of people don't even know how to grow their food and how to eat food that is more healthy. But the main thing for me is with the organic farming is that you give back to the earth, that you keep a maximum of ecological balance and a relationship with the earth in giving and taking. So you receive all this beautiful food, but you give back to the earth by not taking so much that you pollute that earth. Is that the right word, pollution?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And that has been an interesting journey, especially because we have never learned to be farmers, but we have excellent people that help us to learn this. And I just love it, but I think that when I'm here, so I come now from a farm and we eat organic, we grow our own wheat and make our own bread, and then I try to find some food here in the U.S. that nourish me, and that is very hard. It's very hard to eat what you people are eating here when you used to have these different foods. So, but actually the reason why because we want to bring that back in awareness of people that what you eat is so important, and it is such a difference if you eat a hamburger from McDonald's or you eat a piece of meat from our own cows. It's a world of difference in how you digest it and how it makes you feel. But I think that there is a lot of organic farming in the U.S. too, and I'm very happy about that, because we have to stop abusing the earth and abusing ourselves by eating the wrong things. And the way we get these foods, that's important too.
Well, actually, the farming and the community, you know, according to everybody that's seen what's going to happen, and you know, after the earth changes, you know, if you don't know where your food is and where your water is, and aren't living in right relationship now, you're not going to make it. so you, okay. That's what you're building right now is this all things common. Which is also a biblical teacher, principle, that a lot of people seem to miss the biblical principle of living all things common and living close to the earth. And so I applaud what you're doing. Gordon Michael Scallion said this is what people need to do. They need to form rural, cooperative, agricultural, small societies.
Yeah.
That's what you're doing.
And just create that group of loving people that care about each other, care about the earth, and get out of their own emotions and their own addictions to their trauma dramas and strive to live in a peaceful coexistence. I agree.
Yeah, it's very, very important, folks that are listening out there. If you can't find one, start one. And it's time's getting very short. Like I said, I was told back in '98 that 2006 would be 2005 would be known as the year of the great havoc, because the weather was going to become so bad that it may even cause to shut down a lot of the computers on the planet. So, and I hear recently been wondering whether that might have something to do with the sun. And then that was earlier this year, I started wondering that because of what's going on with all the coronal mass ejections. And about 2 weeks after I began wondering that and the connection with the weather, the National Weather Service started including forecasts in their daily weather forecast. They began telling people what's going on the sun. So I'm looking real close at what's going on in the sun, because the coronal mass ejection at the right time could shut down every satellite we've got, which would shut down all our communications, which would basically put us back in the Stone Age.
Yep.
It's
so everything you know, the old one would say is an abuse of our powers. The power of the supplier has been abused by the nuclear. And because the nuclear then has affected the sun. And why we can't get we're doing this to ourselves is pretty amazing.
Yeah, everybody's abdicated the responsibilities. The black people had the responsibility for water, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And white people for fire. No, I guess that was the... No, I think it was the yellow people had responsibility for the air, and the black people for water, and the white people for fire, and red people for earth. And everybody's abdicated their responsibilities. You can't even hardly find a traditional Hopi now. And if you did, it's impossible for them to farm because the weather has been changed so drastically down there. They can no longer they don't get the lightning strikes there, which is affecting how much rain falls. They do get clouds that pass over there in the summer, but they don't. They rain a little bit. They're not raining like they used to. So everything's out of order. But that's a good thing too, because we know well in the Bible said that this period of time would be everything would be out of order, and it kind of has to be that way before things can be set back in order. And it's not all bad. We know we're getting it's probably going to get worse before it gets better, but we're the thing that keeps running through my mind is that we are standing on the threshold of a dream, standing at crossroads.
Well, and we're at choice whether to create from that dream heaven or whether to create from that dream hell.
Mm-hmm.
And however it is we create it, it's what we all got to live together in it. And that's pretty scary.
Yeah, that's right. That's you hit that nail on the head. So,
keepers of great wisdom, truth of other times, let the wind blow.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments. Folks, the scriptures say my people perish for lack of knowledge. We live in a world that's becoming more and more dangerous as time goes by. Millions of people are aware of this fact now and are actively preparing. Back in 2004, the folks here at Prophecy Keepers Foundation foresaw this situation and began preparing information for you. Friends, I seriously suggest that you head over to prophecykeepers.info and take a look at the Prophecy Keepers Trilogy and Preparedness Library. The Prophecy Keepers Trilogy is a 1,000-page intelligence briefing. The trilogy is a sum total of many years of collecting, collating, analyzing, and comparing prophecies from all over the planet. Mad Bear Anderson predicted that someone would do exactly what we have done. Mad Bear passed into spirit in 1985 before he could realize his dream of collecting and comparing prophecies from all over the world. He said in his biography, "Someday someone will collect all the native people's prophecies, myths, and legends and would publish them in one place so they could be compared with those of all native peoples worldwide, and then we really will have something." And friends, you'll be absolutely shocked to find out that we discovered exactly what that something was that Mad Bear wanted everyone to know. As it turns out, that certain special something that Mad Bear was searching for in the prophecies has everything to do with your physical safety and how to protect it. Now folks, there's absolutely nothing available on the planet like this collection. You'll receive instant access to the Prophecy Keeper's Wisdom Treasury Vault. This is a huge 4.88 gigabyte library, 3,287 files in 222 folders. You'll also receive direct access to links that will allow you to download all past Prophecy Keeper's interviews. Now folks, I won't kid you, Prophecy Keepers does need money to continue to operate. So please head on over to prophecykeepers.info and take a look.
Keepers of great wisdom, truth of other times, let the wind blow.
One of the things that Angelique talked about was our work together concerning the women, and I was very male accomplished. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
And attributes like in the political arena of going upwards, and then I knew how to be a warrior, and then I become a sun dancer. That's pretty male situation. But I didn't know how to really to be a woman. And even when I would ask Great Spotted Eagle and other grandmas, they would say, there are no women's ceremonies. They're all men and women, and blah, 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 blah. And so one day, we spent a couple of years, Grace and I, just going around to all, a lot of the grandmas in Pine Ridge, Rosebud, and talking to them about the old women's ceremony. So in 1994, after Grace passed away, she wanted me to start these women's dance. And 94 is the year of the birth of the White Buffalo. So I had a vision of the White Buffalo cast woman, which then resulted in going to Gainesville, Wisconsin, and meeting the Hiders and Miracle herself. And we started the woman's dance. This will be the 11th year of the dance. And all I do is just lead the dance. All the sisters make up their own rules, regulations, what they want to do. And then I facilitate those old ceremonies, and old ceremonies of birth, and the maintaining of the baby cord and creating a bag with that cord in it. Becoming a young woman, women that are going to get married, when they're going into the grandma stage. There's all these ceremonies that we do that celebrate those natural transitions in our lives. And it's really exciting to be doing that again. It's like celebrating the season of the year and the timings of the moon and the stars and the sun, and it's getting it back into that natural rhythm. So when you're saying we're out of balance, the more we do to get acclimated to, you know, how many people listening today know the star constellation you were born under? Or the exact star. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
And all of our old ones, that's what they knew. That's how they named the child. That's how they, you know, set that child in motion on the stepways or pathways of their life. And we go so fast. You know, we went through the quickening.